Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. My teaching titled Divine Healing, Our Covenant Right, is vital for mankind in general, and especially Christians, because we have an adversary, Satan, whose only intention is to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan's deadly diseases, including COVID-19, were spawned in the pit of hell to destroy God's greatest creation, man. For those of you who have been with me from the beginning of this teaching know that based on Scripture, I have made a valid case that the Holy Bible is a blood covenant book that was instituted by our Heavenly Father on the life, blood, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a result of Jesus' obedience and faithfulness to complete his earthly assignment, mankind can once again be reunited to our Creator and live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. God gave Jesus Christ, the first person of the Godhead, to lay his life down on our behalf, whereupon safeguarding the blood covenant he made with Abraham and ensuring that no man could once again separate us from him. As a result, we can depend on God's promises recorded in the Holy Bible. His promises are forevermore written and confirmed on the life unto death. I thank my God and Jesus Christ that God is not a man that he should lie. Further, that Jesus did complete his redemptive assignment for all men. Christians can rest assured that our salvation and abundant life is paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, including our covenant right to divine healing. Let's read our four foundational scriptures for this teaching. And please note that for this study, I will continue to quote from the Amplified Study Bible unless otherwise stated. Please turn to our first foundational scripture found in the book of Psalm. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 says, "Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deep within me, bless his holy name. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits. Who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you lavishly with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the soaring eagle." Please turn to our second foundational scripture found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, "But in fact, he, Jesus, has bore our griefs, and he has carried our sorrows and pains. Yet we ignorantly assumed that he was stricken, struck down by God, and degraded and humiliated by him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness. Our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing, the punishment required for our well-being fell on him, Jesus, and by his stripes, wounds, we are healed. Please turn to our third foundational scripture found in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to read verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, "When evening came, they brought to him Jesus many who were under the power of demons, and he cast out the evil spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick, exhibiting his authority as Messiah, so that he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took our infirmities upon himself and carried away our diseases." Now let's turn to our last foundational scripture found in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "He, Jesus, personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty and power of sin, and live for righteousness. For by his, Jesus' wounds, you who believe have been healed." Thank you, Lord. All of these scriptures and many more like them tell us that Jesus took every sickness, every pain, and every disease on himself, so that we believers would not have to accept Satan's physical attacks on mankind. We are healed in Jesus. Now I want to proceed from where I left off last week before I ran out of time. In our continued examination of the healing redemptive work of Jesus Christ, we read from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, where it is recorded that the Israelites sinned against God and were bitten by serpents and died. Then, as a result of the people repenting and asking Moses to pray for them, God gave them a way of escape. God instructed them to create a bronze serpent on a pole for the Israelites to look upon for healing. Under the New Testament, Satan operates in the same manner today to steal, kill, and destroy. However, because Jesus voluntarily allowed himself to be hung on a cross, symbolized by the pole in the Old Testament passage we read, Christians today are healed in Jesus the Christ. The pole with the serpent wrapped around it is the symbol of the way of escape and healing. And it is Jesus, the Messiah, that fulfilled this Old Testament prophecy when he laid his life on the cross for all men. Jesus is our healer today, and he has provided us a better covenant. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7, we're going to read verses 19 through 28. 19 says, "For the law never made anything perfect, while on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we now continually draw near to God. And indeed, it was not without the taking of an oath that Christ was made priest." Verse 21, "For those Levites who formerly became priests received their office without its being confirmed by the taking of an oath. But this one was designated with an oath through the one who said to him, 'The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind or regret it. You, Christ, are a priest forever.' And so, because of the oath, greater strength and force, Jesus has become the certain guarantee of a better covenant, a more excellent and more advantageous agreement, one that will never be replaced or annulled." Verse 23. The former successive line of priests, on the other hand, existed in greater numbers because they were each prevented by death from perpetually in office. But on the other hand, Jesus holds his priesthood permanently and without change because he lives on forever. Therefore, he is able also to save forever, completely, perfectly, for eternity, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede and intervene on their behalf with God. Verse 26. It was fitting for us to have such a high priest, perfectly adapted to our needs, holy, blameless, unstained by sin, separated from sinners and exalted higher than the heavens, who has no day-by-day need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices, first of all, for his own personal sins, and then for those of the people. Because he, Jesus, met all the requirements and did this once for all when he offered up himself as a willing sacrifice. Last verse, verse 29. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, frail, sinful, dying men. But the word of the oath of God, which came after the institution of the law, permanently appoints as priests a son who has been made perfect forever. Now, family, I did take the time to read a very long passage, but I do want to highlight some very important phrases within the passage that we do need to highlight and understand. Remember, we're talking about a blood covenant that gives us eternal promises. So you need to know in a very clear fashion why we can depend on this blood covenant that Jesus completed on our behalf. So beginning with verse 19, I just want to highlight that first phrase in verse 19. It says, the law never made anything perfect. Remember, family, I've said this in other studies. I've said this probably at the very beginning of this teaching, that the law was temporary. It's a tutor. It was a teacher until the true Messiah could come and complete the work on our behalf. So it made nothing perfect. The law made nothing perfect. Verse 20. It says Christ was made priest. Now we know from Old Testament studies that the priest was the representative of the people, the Israelites. So they, in their very best fashion that they could, represented mankind or Israel. Well, Jesus the Christ is our priestly representative. So now we're going to find out what kind of priest Jesus is. And we know it's better than any man priest we can ever have. Verse 21, the last portion of that sentence says, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind or regret it. You, Christ, are a priest forever. Amen. He is eternal. He is our forever representative. That, family, is good news. So we can count on him. Let's go to verse 22. Beginning with Jesus has become. I want to highlight the rest of that verse. It says, Jesus has become the certain guarantee of a better covenant. Now, thank God for the old covenant, because it kept the people safe for a period of time until the Messiah could be birthed. But now, under the New Testament, we Christians have a better covenant that is guaranteed. A more excellent and more advantageous agreement, one that will never be replaced or annulled.
This is an eternal covenant with better promises. Thank you, Jesus. All right, drop down to verse 24. I want to read where it says Jesus holds. It says Jesus holds his priesthood permanently and without change because he lives on forever. Jesus is eternal and his assignment has been completed for all time. There is not going to be any other sacrificial lamb, no other representative but the great eternal Jesus. So we again can count on him. Verse 25, it says, therefore, he is able also to save forever, completely, perfectly, for eternity, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede and intervene on their behalf with God. Oh, family, I don't know. This is something that we need to stand up and shout about because we got a representative, a mediator, a godly, eternal priest who is there for us no matter what comes, no matter what tries to enter into our lives, it would try to steal, kill, and destroy. We got Jesus, the high priest of all times, all eternity, to intervene on our behalf. Amen. Verse 26, it says, a high priest, referring to Jesus, perfectly adapted to our needs, holy, blameless, unstained by sin. That's our Jesus the Christ. That's our representative. He is perfect. And we need someone in our lives that is perfect to help us in time of need. Drop down to verse 27. The last part of that verse says, he, Jesus, met all the requirements and did this once for all when he offered up himself as a willing sacrifice. So not only did he come and complete the assignment, but he did it willingly because he loves us and he wanted the best for us. And then the last verse, verse 29, that last part of the verse says, permanently appoints as priest a son. That's Jesus, who has been made perfect forever. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you willingly came. Thank you for completing your assignment so that we could have eternal relationship and protection through you. All right, let's also go to Hebrews chapter 8. I just want to read one verse. One verse. We're talking about Jesus the healer, Jesus the priest who represents us Christians. It says in Hebrews 8, 6, but as it is, Christ has acquired a priestly ministry, which is more excellent than the old Levitical priestly ministry. For he is the mediator, arbitrator of a better covenant, uniting God and man, which has been enacted and rests on better promises, benefits. Oh, thank you, Lord. Again, I want to read the meat of this verse that says, Christ has acquired a priestly ministry, which is more excellent than the old Levitical priestly ministry. For he is our mediator, arbitrator of a better covenant, uniting God and man. And that's exactly what Jesus did for our for all mankind, but for those who've accepted the gift of salvation, he has reunited us with our Heavenly Father. What Adam could not complete in his assignment, Jesus came in and did it for all eternity. Let's also read from the book of John. John chapter 3, we're going to read two verses, 14 and 15. 14 says, just as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the desert on a pole, so must the Son of Man, Jesus, be lifted up on the cross. Verse 15, so that whoever believes will in him, Jesus, have eternal life. after physical death and will actually live forever. In verse 14, it says, Jesus be lifted up on the cross. Now, when we read from the book of Numbers, we read about that serpent that came against Israelites after their sinning against God and Moses. But God is always loving, always kind. He's willing to give us the way of escape. So he told the people, he told the people to please make a serpent and put it on a pole, bronze serpent. And when the people of Israel looked on it, they were healed. Verse 15, it says, whoever believes will in him, Jesus, have eternal life. Whoever believes will in him, Jesus, have eternal life. That's all it takes for us to believe and then accept the gift of salvation. Again, it is through the redemptive work that Jesus completed on our behalf that provides us health and healing. And divine healing is a benefit that is part of the gift of salvation in Jesus. When we look upon our Savior and Lord in faith, we are guaranteed the way of escape. Jesus is the completion of the Old Testament prophecies, and he is the Messiah. Please keep in mind that Messiah means the promised deliverer. Let's turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Jesus is speaking. Verse 18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Messiah, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release, pardon, forgiveness to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed by tragedy, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and favor of God abound greatly. This first verse, verse 18, is so awesome. I would like to read it one more time. And I want you listeners to listen in, because this is part of our covenant. This is the promise that God has spoken to us through Jesus Christ. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Messiah, because he, God, has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release, pardon, forgiveness to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. Family, we don't have to stay in darkness. We don't have to continue to be beat up by Satan and his demonic forces. We don't have to go to an early death. We have our complete healing and protection in Jesus Christ. So take the time to hear the word, to study it. Find out what the word says, believe it, and apply it. In Jesus' name. Let's go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10. Let's read verses 7 and 8. Jesus is speaking. Verse 7 says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Family, I want to give you as much scripture as possible so that you will be totally convinced of the covenant right you have in Christ Jesus. Christians, listen. Verse 8 says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. This is what God's children should be doing. That is the work of the Lord. Let's also go to the book of Mark. Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. Jesus is speaking. Verse 15 says, and he said to them, go to all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed in me and has been baptized will be saved from the penalty of God's wrath and judgment.
but he who has not believed will be condemned. Last verse, verse 17. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will get well. Family, Jesus the Christ is speaking, and he's letting us know that there is nothing to fear, but we do have to believe and operate in faith. So here in verse 16, it says, he who has believed in me, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Then you have received the gift of salvation, then these signs should follow you. Verse 17, these signs will accompany those who have believed, have received the gift of salvation, and now you're going to step out in faith and speak God's word over the circumstances of life, because it says, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will get well. Family, I'm so sorry, but I am out of time. Please return next week as we continue with Divine Healing, Our Covenant Right. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.